Glory to God, redeeming the time in this evil day, proclaiming the message that Jesus still saves. To a world lost in darkness, let his light shine. Trust and obey, fervently pray, redeeming the time. There's the message of the day, amen. Redeeming the time. Oh, time, so important. Thank you, Father. So as I heard that this morning, it's a crazy thing. I'm sitting back there and I just put in Redeeming the Time song, and this comes up, and I listened to it and I thought, wow. I think that was my heart of coming up with this. And with God had was trying to show me, of course, within that scripture of Colossians. And that redeeming, when I read that this past week, it was like one of these things. I kept reading 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. It is so vitally important for the child of God today, if it's always been that way throughout time, but maybe more so today in the times that we're living and the things that are being said or not said, or it seems to be we're so far at times removed from a godly focus in our nation, whatever it might be, but that we as his children in this place, for this assignment that you have been given, for this time, that you need to redeem this time for the glory of God, amen? It's not for us. It's not for this Harvesters Church or any church out there so that we can build a big, big body and lavish in that and think like, oh, we've arrived. No, it's continue. Even if we had a big body here, there's a lot more dying and lost out there than it would be even in here. You could have a church of 5,000 people right here today, but guess what? There's more out there that are dying and that are lost. And so I want us to be focused, myself included, you as well, upon redeeming the time that God has granted to you and for us. Redeeming, we could look at that as one of the definitions would be to exchange. You know, you can go through and look up all kinds of the different versions or different uses of redeem. But one that I came across, I liked that, and it talked about to exchange. What this is telling me is I need to exchange my personal time with the time that God has given me to redeem that, to use, to bring to his honor and glory, like that of what Jesus said, that he went about doing his Father's business. We, as children of God, need to be doing nothing else but serving God. Serving God at your job, serving God if you're retired, serving God wherever. We need to exchange that time that we have with that person, possibly, to help them understand. So as we've already read in Colossians, let's just read it again. Colossians 4, starting at 2. Continually, earnestly in what? Prayer. We're going to look at that. Wow. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery or that hidden truth of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Redeeming the time, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. It's not to get into a debate. It's not to argue. It's not to force them into it. It's not to twist their arm. Did anybody twist your arm to come to that of Christ? Not me. I was shared the news. I read it. Got into my spirit, began to start making some sense. My spirit began to kind of entertain it a little bit, and I delved into it a little bit more, and we received Christ. It wasn't by any kind of argument. It wasn't by any kind of argument of why you should and why you shouldn't and things of that nature. It was just like he died for you to reconcile you back to your heavenly Creator. What more do you need to know about that? He died for you, and the blood that he shed was to cleanse you of the sins that you have, so that you can be in that right standing. So you can be that righteousness before that of God. God's righteousness, not your righteousness. And nothing that you can do, Tim, would ever bring you into that elevation or that level of acceptability to God, except through that of Jesus Christ. No church, no organization, no attendance, no amount of tithe, no amount of being good, no amount of whatever it might be, will gain you that except through this simple process of Jesus Christ died for you as well. Now, the world, sometimes it's hard to figure that out. I was looking at some things and how we are given a choice, and I was reading in Scripture where it talks about as we share with those that their mind has been seared and their eyes have been blinded and things. But reading that and then reading some thoughts and commentaries with that thought process, it came to say this to me as well. Remember how we say that with God, it's your choice to accept what he's got for you. When the devil and, say, our minds are seared and the things and the God of this world has done that, he has done that. But still, the ultimate choice of that person that is lost is to be willingly to stay lost. The devil is not holding them down to be lost. The devil has caused confusion in them. We talk about God's word tells us very plainly, seared hearts, hardened hearts, seared minds, eyes blinded, things of that nature, to the truth of the things of God. That's what the God of this world has done to, had done to all of us that are here, hopefully, that we've all come out of that and into the light. But those that are outside the kingdom, those that are still in darkness, they have a choice to make. And it's not the devil holding their arm to keep serving him. Everybody freely has that choice. Now, we can blame the devil. The devil is making me do this. The devil is holding me here. No, the devil is not holding you there. You are holding yourself there. And until you recognize that you are the one that's in control of where you're going and what you're doing, the devil will continue to keep lies going into you to make you think that it's him doing it so that you feel like you're not able to counteract it. But the devil has no power. The devil only has the power of probably suggestion. And visiting at times with people that go through hard times, people will say, I just get so mad at God because of what my family is going through or what I am going through. And as I'm going to work or as I'm out and about or if I'm at my house or I'm outside cutting the grass, whatever the case might be, I may get very vocal with God and say, why, God, are you doing this? Why, God, aren't you hearing me? Why, God? I said, understandable. Everybody been there? We all been there. I've been there. But I said, here's what the focus you have to all of a sudden realize. Is the same vocal tone that you're using to God, why, God? I said, turn it around to the devil. Because the devil is the one that's doing it. You need to get that vocal to the devil saying, gosh, devil, release your hands from my family. Release your hands from me. Release your hands from the situation. Whatever the case is, the devil is the one that is doing it. But how many times do we get on the devil's case? We get on God's case because we're children of God and we cry out to him like, why, God, are you doing this? When we ought to be saying, devil, get out of here. I'm a child of God. My family's a child of God. I plead the blood of Christ over my kids, over the situation. Devil, loose your grip upon my family, upon my body, whatever the case is. And we've got to get to that understanding of, rather than always crying out to God, why God, why God, God is saying, it's not me. You're going to the wrong person. Now, he will help you, you know, sustain those things. A lot of times it's to bring maturity in our faith and all these things that God's about. And I said to this one individual, I said, and here's what's happening. I said, the devil is over on the sideline just laughing because he's got the people not focused on the problem of him bringing it in that spiritual realm of the battles that we go into, not looking at him saying, get out! We're going, why, God? Why? Why are we going through this? Why am I dealing with this? Why? Why? And the devil's sitting over there on the sidelines, probably in a recliner, lazy boy, going, yeah. Yeah. I got him right where I want him. As a child of God, we've got to get understanding. We've got to get wisdom. We've got to get a thought process to understand that God didn't put that on me. I've got to understand that I live in a fallen world, that I live in a place that is nothing but filth and sin and degradation and darkness and gross lies, and the good is being called bad and the bad is being called good. I live in a world like that. Anybody else with me? But that doesn't mean I'm going to stay there and begin to live that style and say, that's what I will be. I am going to be that shining light. I'm going to be that salt. I'm going to be whatever God has called me to be, to bring hope to that situation, to bring a focus to people can say, here's a lifeline. Whew. Grab onto it and let me share about it. Jesus. If nothing else, we find out a lot of times when the church and the Christianity, Christian nations, whatever the case might be, Christian countries, when they go through persecution and just being even martyred and killed, generally speaking, that's when the gospel rises up even more. It should, because we have that in the Gospels here in the Testaments of showing that when Rome and the Sadducees and the religious, whenever somebody tried to put down the truly benefit of Jesus Christ and what he was about and tried to squelch that thing, that good news, it says in our word that it spread even what? Further, farther, touching more. Today we have that same thing before us. And maybe when we look at our nation as a whole, yes, we cry out, where is our Christian values in America? But maybe it's one of the things God is saying, my children, the church doesn't really rise up until it's persecuted. Men and women of mine do not really rise up. They don't come to a prayer meeting unless there's something disastrous happening, unless something happens to where the Twin Towers fall, and all of a sudden for 2.5 weeks we had people just totally on God's side praying. The government, Democrat, Republican, atheist, it didn't matter. They were all out on those steps doing what? Praying. So God says about the only time people come and cry out to me to see me work in their situation is when they're going through what? Persecution and trials. Personally, generally, 95% probably, Christians even, maybe more than that, maybe less. I don't know. I'm just throwing numbers out there. But the only time we really cry out to God as being a Christian, besides going to church on a Sunday, is when something very traumatic has happened in our life. And then all of a sudden we turn to prayer. Oh, God. Why did I lose my job? Oh, God, how am I going to support my family? Oh, God, what's going to happen to this? And I'm so thankful, aren't you, that God is full of grace and mercy? He's still there for you. But I'm just saying, guys, redeem the time. We've got to be praying to God all the time. We've got to be thanking him. We might have to be warring against, you know, whatever we want to call it. I kind of carefully say warring against the devil, because I don't war against him. I put him in his place as a child of God. Get behind me, Satan. I'm a child of God. You have no right to me. I'm blood bought. Get out of here. Now, there's still times that he hangs around. But does that diminish my faith in my God? Does it diminish your faith in your God? If it does, you better start doing some faith checkup, because chances are it's going to get a lot worse. And the devil just loves to hear a Christian's faith begin to waver. Because then guess what? The devil's going to come in for the kill. He's going to just keep putting those arrows into you even more, because he goes, all right, he or she is beginning to waver in their faith to that God. Because the devil knows how powerful God is. The devil knows he's lost. The devil knows what's all in, but he's saying until that person realizes it, I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to be doing and disrupting that life. I'm going to be disrupting the church. I'm going to keep throwing all of these things to keep people off of their focus of God. Here we find in the scripture of Colossians, Paul is speaking on three ingredients that we should use to those outside the kingdom of God. Or we could say those that are still living in darkness and they're not seeing the light that is shining through that of Jesus. One is that of prayer. Persevering prayer. You have got to pray. You have got to do what again? Pray. And when all else fails, what are you going to do? Pray. Kind of reflects back and all of a sudden it just hits me. When I was in the retail market and our founder of the company always says that the customer is always right. Second rule is, refer to rule number one, the customer is always right. Rule number, when our Christian walk is, the first rule is, do what? Pray. The second rule is, if it ain't going yet, go back to number one, pray. Pray. Persevere. Pray. Don't give up. Secondly, he talks about that our lifestyles, that's our behavior in the service that we have to God, that our lifestyles represent that of the kingdom. You can't serve the kingdom and then on Friday night and Saturday night or whatever, Tuesday night, whatever, and go out and live like that of the world and then come back into somebody's life on Thursday and try to share about the kingdom that's in you because they look at you saying, the kingdom didn't seem to be in you on Tuesday night when I was out with you at the bar or when we were out here doing this and all these things that you were saying or doing or whatever the case might be. Our lifestyle, our way of handling things, our lifestyle. And I'm not saying that we got to be goody-two-shoes. You know, we slip, we fall, things happen. But it's like you want to have an intent in your thoughts, in your steps, that I want to serve him. I want to serve him. I want to honor him. I want those around me to see Christ in me, not Tim in Tim. Because Tim and Tim can get kind of crazy at times. But I got to remember and I got to do my best to keep him in me. To keep him rising up in me by that of the Holy Spirit to where my spirit is fed by his spirit. That my spirit is also being talked to and being attentive to the things around me. And when something comes up, my spirit and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's got to say, that's not going to be a good thing to do, Tim. Tim, that's not a good thing to say. Tim, don't say that. Whatever the case is, we have got to be sharp. You got to be the sharpest tool in your toolbox in this life. Because the devil wants to trip you up. And then lastly, he talks about our speech. What are you saying that's going to draw people to Christ? How are you saying it that's going to draw people to Christ? To be that salt. Salt is to be used to bring out the flavor of something that's good. Or to make something that's good even what? Better. Tantalizes the taste buds. It gets the things happening in your taste buds, man. It's like, ooh, you know. Now, sometimes we've got to cut back on the natural salt because of sodium and high blood pressures, okay? But that's not like that for the kingdom, okay? It's not for that of your Christian. You are the salt and the light. We have got to have that in our speech. We find in the New Testament the call to wholehearted discipleship is accompanied by a life of devotion. Everybody say devotion. Devotion. You have got to be devoted. Remember the thing it says out there that if you don't believe in this, or if you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything type of a thing? If you're not devoted to the kingdom of God on a daily basis, there's a danger that you could all of a sudden be brought out into a left field or a right field, whatever the case might be, and you find some things happening. But we have to be devoted. When we are devoted, it just means this. We need to concentrate on the pursuit or the purpose of our lives with that of Christ. We have a lot of people, and we can look at that in the natural. devoted marriages, you know, when you're devoted in your marriage, it's long lasting and it's honoring and it's respectful and it's willing to say, I'm sorry, it's willing to be to forgiving. All of these things that we work through in the natural. When we're devoted to friendship, it's because we honor that friend and we will do anything for them and they'll do anything for us. There's just a thought process there that that's my good friend and I love them like a sister. I love them like a brother. And I'll do anything. We find this devotion that we need generally in our day-to-day walk with things. Many people, well, I don't know anymore, but there were sometimes people, especially in the days gone by, that were truly and highly devoted to their job. They loved it. It satisfied what they needed. It provided for them and their family. They loved that. They loved the company. The company loved them. There was actually kind of like a cohesiveness and a working there. Now, I know today we look at it in many of our corporations and companies, and we've lost that, haven't we? So it's hard to tell people to be, you know, devoted to jobs. But way back, you know, there was a time that you could be devoted, and that's that devotion. So we understand devotion, but we have to look at that and be devoted and a devoted lifestyle to that of God, to that of His kingdom. So to do that, read the Bible. Be in His Word. Study it. Meditate. Read it. And I'm not saying read it that you got to read a, you know, 50 chapters a day or 50 verses a day just to say you read it. Read one, two, three, whatever. Read just one and let the Spirit just meditate that into your spirit. And you will glean so much out of even one verse. Meditate on the Word. Serving God is another way of devotion, asking what He's asked you to do, serve Him. You know, if you go in there and say, God, I'll do anything for you, help me, and I want to serve you, and He gives you an opportunity to serve Him, but you go, but I won't want to serve you there, it's not exactly what I wanted. Well, then you weren't really being honest and upfront with God to say, I'll do whatever you want, God. You know, if nothing else, be honest with Him and say, God, I will serve you. Maybe with this and this and this, I don't know. Maybe He'll take that into consideration. I don't know. But honestly and really, if you would just come to Him with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your mind, and say, Lord, I'm here to serve you, He's not going to ask you to do something crazy. Now, you might think it at first, and if that happens, just say, Lord, I need this to kind of settle in me a little bit. I don't feel I'm trained for it. I don't feel I have the knowledge for it. I don't think I have the ability. All these things that you might try to confer with Him on. And generally, when you get through that litany of I can't, I can't, I can't, God will say, that's why I chose you. Why? Because you can't. I want people to see me, well, not me, God. God will say, I want people to see me in you. Because they're going to look at you and they're going to say, well, how did you get this education? How did you get this knowledge? How do you get to understand this? How do you do this? And again, you're going to look at them going, God. It's not a four-year degree. It's not a master and a doctorate and a doctorate of a doctorate of another doctor of a doctor. I get confused in all those things. It's just God working through a simple vessel that He can pour Himself in and you to pour it out. To those times that He's asked you, redeeming the times that He's put you where He's put you to be that voice, that light, that salt into that person's life. Becoming a person that prays, value the time that God gives you and use it wisely. When speaking to others, especially outside that faith of the faith, speak with grace and wisdom. Grace and wisdom. So many times I think we have chased people off or we've turned them off because of how we've addressed something with that of the God's word into that life or whatever the case is. And I'm going to tell you right now, in the natural, if we have a conversation and I say something negatively that affects you negatively, chances are you just stopped listening to me on the next 5 minutes that I'm going to talk to you. Somehow we're built with this thing that once I receive like I'm offended or I don't agree, we stop thinking at that point and we begin to put that in our thoughts going, how am I going to rebuttal that? Or how am I going to come against that? As a child of God, we've got to be wise and we got to be tender. And we generally, now there might be times where you got to sit there and, you know, Repent, or you're going to hell. But I think a lot of this stuff here that we're seeing nowadays, it's just like that relationship, that thing of conversation, and keeping the communication sweet to the point of keep it interesting. It's so good. It's so exciting, so neat, whatever you want to describe it as. When you're sharing the things of God and that of Jesus Christ, and the person that you're sharing it to, they ask the questions. I think when that happens, you know you're doing the right thing, rather than they're going to just be there and you're going to be like a Tommy gun and you're just going to rattle off umpteen scriptures and umpteen things of the word and we've all died, and you just hit them with all these things. You know, well, the Bible says this. Generally, that'll work into the conversation if you allow them to do what? Ask you the question. Well, why is that? How come? What does that mean? Truly, do we all sin? Well, yes, it says Romans. Oh, it says this, the word, and you begin to walk them through, and they don't even realize you're sharing a gospel message, because really what you're doing is you're just sharing your heart, because the message is in your heart. And just say what you need to say. If you get into a situation where you're not being sensitive and things of that nature, and you turn them off, you've not accomplished anything. And if nothing else, you might have now put some kind of a little hardness there in their heart to where the next person they come into contact with that God had planned to bring across their path next week to share just a little bit more of what you shared into them or whatever the case is, you know, the seed word, you know, planting, watering, things of that. We all have that part in it somewhere. That maybe because of the way you addressed it, the way you spoke to that person, the way you phrased something, it just turned them off. They just put a wall up. And now that person next week comes and somehow a conversation gets that way. And then I don't want to hear nothing about it. I've already had somebody tell me about it. And I think they're, you know, they just, it was crazy. I'm done with it. I'm done with God. I'm done trying to figure it out because of what this person said or how they said it or what they, whatever, 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 whatever. I've said it times before that I always pray to God, Lord, let me not be a stumbling block to those that you want to have come to you. Because I don't want to stand before God and God to say, Tim, you talked to 10 people. And the things, the way you said it, how you said it, the way you weren't listening to me to how to say it, they turned away from me and it took me even longer to get into their heart. Or maybe I was never to get into their heart because of what you did. Think you'd walk out with your tail between your legs like, oh, sorry, Lord, sorry. Remember, the only ones that Jesus ever got adamant with and kind of like in their face was the religious people. The people that were lost, the people that did not know, he had love and empathy and compassion and grace. He redeemed his time wisely while he was on this side of heaven. Don't you agree? Did you know that the persistence is an expression of our faith? Many times in the things that we even go through, persistence is the expression of your faith. How long do you persist? You continue until it's settled in your heart, or that settled in that prayer, or that prayer has been answered, or whatever the case is, but be persistent. But that means your faith. Because really, if you're not persistent, after a while, you just give up. That just tells us, tells the enemy, tells the devil that, okay, their faith is, they don't have the faith any longer to receive that, what they're looking for. I think that's a dangerous area to be in, because eventually, little by little, what happens? Less faith, less faith, less faith, and pretty soon we're out and lost. So it says, did you know that persistence is an expression of our faith? Faith should not die or grow weak if answers to our prayers come slowly or even not answered exactly as we've prayed. And I think that's one of those wagons that the devil likes to hop on when the answer to your prayer doesn't get answered the way you prayed. And the devil will say, you thought God was hearing you? You thought you were part of the family of God? Well, what father wouldn't answer what you've asked them? Anybody here been a parent and your kids have asked you for something and you didn't give it to them because you knew it wasn't good for them? God is like that. Now, in our eyes, it's good. I can see this happening. This would be great. And on the onset, it looks good. in the time frame that we see. But we don't see the future, do we? We don't know what's out. You don't even know what's going to happen 3 seconds from now in the eyes of God. A second, a split second. All these seconds in our life are just ticking off. So if we don't know the next 5 seconds, we don't know the next hour, we don't know the next year, the 5 years, or whatever the case is, but only that of what? God knows. And so we have to resign ourselves or get ourselves into that position to where as I pray for this or pray for that, that even though my answer has not been answered the way I wanted it, I have got to believe, God, you have heard my prayer. I have placed it before you. And I ask, Lord, and above everything else, Lord, let your will be done. And if I don't understand it, Lord, would you help me understand it? Would you give me grace? Would you give me grace and understanding to where I'm not upset, you know, that I do trust you. I do believe in you. I know you've heard me. You've answered my prayers in the past. I know you're there. And then generally these things go on, especially when we've been praying for something that's gone on for not just days. It could be years. Years that we go through this time. But be persistent. It's an expression of our faith. Don't let your prayers become weak. Know that God knows. Trust your God. I think it does us all well and good if we all get into a situation where sometimes you've got to own up to it that you don't have the answer. I don't have the answer to tell you, for you to understand it. But just because I don't have the answer for me to tell that person and for them to probably grasp it and understand it, that does not, for me, diminish what? My faith with my God. I stand assured and I stand firm knowing that God is my God. And I trust him through all of it, even through the times that I don't understand. When we are sharing about God and he is sending and him sending Jesus to die for us, sharing the gospel message, whether we are emphasizing lifestyle or an example or we're building a relationship, we should never hide the message of God as that of what? Good news. We want always to be looking for and responding to God ordained times in the times that we share. It is an amazing thing when how God just prepares the time. And sometimes we've gone into situations, and maybe you have too, where you didn't go into it thinking like, I'm going to share the gospel message with this person. But all of a sudden, through a conversation and through another question and through another conversation and through something else, pretty soon you begin to see something weaving into it. I've had conversations with people, and I don't know if it's just us or me or whatever, but I'm telling you what, we'll talk about things of God, then we'll get right into things of current events. Then we'll get into something else, and then we're back into the God thing. And we always, somehow, it always seems like all we go through all this stuff here, somehow we always get that focus. And these are people that are Christ in their life, and they're faithful people and all. But it's something that we somehow, it's amazing, we just gravitate back, we just go a full circle. So it's not that we're talking God, 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 God all this time. God, personal things, family things, da-da-da-da, current events, da-da-da-da, God, 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 God. And a lot of times what happens, it always goes back into things like, wow, we see how God's in control. Isn't that awesome, you know? But I think that same thing will happen with even just in a conversation with somebody, and all of a sudden it'll turn to that of faith. How do you remain so hopeful? How do you remain so pleasant? How come you're not, you know, just like frazzled? It really happens when times of persecution, when they see what's going on in the world, and then themselves are being like, and you're sitting there just calm as a cucumber, like, hey, can I have another cup of coffee? What? Doesn't this worry you? It concerns me. I'm not worried. I pray about it, but I'm not worried about it. You know? What's that song? Put your hand in the hand. That stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand. That calmed the sea. Yeah. We've got to have that calmness, that assurity in us, even when all crazy is going on around us. New Living says this, and I'll get to verse 5, and it just says this, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. That's like that redeeming the time. Let your conversations be gracious, and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. It's what it's about. Didn't Jesus know how to respond to those around him when they asked him questions? And a lot of times when they asked Jesus questions, what did he do? He usually responded with a question. What about this? Then he would say, well, how do you handle it as this? Well, we do this. Rightfully so, you say, you know. Who do they say I am? They say you're, yes, you're right, you know. Listen and respond back. Gracious, be attentive. Now we find this redeeming again in Ephesians 5:15. And it says this, Ephesians 5:15-16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, we don't have to explain a whole lot about evil, do we? Everybody knows that. Just look around. Look what's going on. Evil, evil, evil. Now, when we look at this, and we see this word, walk circumspectly. This is telling us, walk carefully. Walk with sensitivity. Not as fools, but as wise. Because if you're walking carefully and sensitive to the situation at hand, you will have the right response for that situation that's taking place. I believe that if you're a child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, the Word of God will come through you in some conversation, in some kind of a comment thing that should be used for that particular situation. And it's going to be hopefully done with that, if I follow this, sensitivity. Redeeming the time is capitalizing on every appropriate opportunity. We have to redeem, and if nothing else, you're just going to keep hearing this, we and you, me and us, need to be redeeming the very time that we're living to share forth the light of Christ, the love of Christ, and the purpose of Christ. As we go about redeeming the time, we are giving the light that is in our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says this, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We look at this area of darkness. The light to shine out of could be, you know, we know there's a literal, figuratively, or literally there's a physical darkness, and then metaphorically it is used to things like a spiritual darkness, a moral darkness, intellectual darkness. The darkness arises from error, ignorance, disobedience, willful blindness, rebellion. Darkness is an evil system that is opposed to the light. Even with the things that have gone on in our country and seeing the things that have happened throughout this past year. Easily get upset with the people that are really tearing up the place and doing just horrendous things. But early on, I began to understand that they don't understand they're being used by that of an evilness in their life to do what they're doing. And it's causing the outside what we see. And it's that coldness, the hardness, the blindness, whatever it is that the enemy, the God of this world, has done. But he is using these people, these groups, these individuals. And so you begin to, instead of looking at that, you almost begin to start praying, Lord, reveal to them, Lord. Reveal to them, Lord, that they're a pawn in the hand of the devil. That the devil is working through them. I pray, Lord, for your Spirit to intercede in that. I pray for your Spirit to come over that situation, over that person. If we can just pray for the Spirit of God to move within the spirit or the lives of everyone in this nation, guess what kind of nation this would really truly turn out to be? But I also am understanding, and I'm not, you know, wishing on something that's not going to happen, because it's also in His Word talking about how these times are coming and how things are going to get worse and worse and worse. But that does not say to Tim, well, then just sit back and allow it to happen and don't even worry about it. I've said it over and over again. We are here, you are here for a divine plan and purpose to share the love of Christ and the light of Christ and the hope of Christ and all of these things that people are missing in their lives. And we have to do it with love, grace, mercy, like that of Jesus. Redeeming the times that we have and not hunkering down in our churches and not, you know, like closing into ourselves and say, well, we're just going to take care of ourselves. No, there's a lost and dying world out there. People need to hear what we have. They need to be understanding of what we have. And even though we talk about how the devil's blinded them, once they hear and they've got a choice to make, choose this day who you will serve. That doesn't just speak for, you know, well, that speaks to anybody. It speaks to those outside the faith at first, because God was saying that. You're going to choose to serve either the devil or me. Everybody, good people and evil people, it's all up to their choice. Hear a lot about that today. This person has a choice to do with what they want. This person has a choice to do what they want. You know what happens now, and that's vernacular, and as we think about that, if everybody has a choice to do what they in themselves want to do, it can be very chaotic. Unless there's rules and laws of the land, for sure. But we all have that ability within ourselves to make that choice of who you are going to serve this day. And even if you share with somebody and they don't receive it at that time, don't just keep loving on them, amen? Keep being around them. Keep somehow where they see that of Christ in you. So as we go about redeeming the time, we are giving the light that is in our heart. And that's so neat, is because as dark as it is in the spiritual realm out there, you don't have to be, you know, like a Bible-thumping Christian to go out there to share the things of God. If you've got Christ in your life and you're a child of God, you've got enough light in you to go. And just be love. Just share. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. And here's why, because he says this in the Word. Very simple things. So we will be a little light, a bright light, whatever it'll be. But you will be a light out there in the darkness where people are living outside that of the kingdom of God. Now it says in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of that of Jesus Christ." Darkness, we've already talked about that. And it's got to be about not us, but who are we speaking about? Jesus! Jesus! It's not me. 2 Corinthians 4:5-6, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light again to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul is preaching this, and he would preach what? Christ himself, not about himself. He was preaching Jesus. Jesus. We need to be that same thing. Jesus. We should do the same, not what we've done, not what we've accomplished. Now, you might say, I've been able to achieve this or accomplish this, but not on my own power, because it's Christ living in me that has brought this about. I am nothing. I am nothing without Christ. And really, friend, if you would realize that, you are nothing without Christ. But Christ is here for you, just like he was there for me. It's not what we've done. It's not about our accomplishments. It's all about Jesus. And as followers of Christ, it comes down to serving others, even if they don't measure up to our expectations. That's a hard one sometimes, isn't it? But it's to be that love, to be available, to be of help for people that are hurting and for people that are going through a very tough time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just pray real quick. Father God, Lord, as I have brought forth this message, I pray, Lord, that it is infused with your, Lord, your love. That, Lord, you take it, and I pray that as those that are here and those that may listen online that will hear of it, Lord, that it'll be touching their hearts and their spirit. And that, Lord, they receive it in the way that it was shared, by that of love, by that of understanding, by that of each and every one of us that is a child of yours, that you have given us time upon this earth. And to be good stewards of that time, let us always be understanding to redeem the time that we have for that of good, for that of your glory, to bring honor and glory to you in all that we say and do, Father. And in all the areas that you put us, in all the areas that we come across in our daily walk and throughout the week and the month and the year, Father, let us always be attentive to you, speaking to those around us the things that you want us to say, especially so that it would draw them into a relationship with you. I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen.